this morning, man.
Amen. Amen. Well, I believe the Lord will do just exactly that. Amen. So, let's let the musicians go and go to their seats. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. God has blessed us once again. Amen. To be able to gather together with those of like precious faith. And I didn't quite hear all of the praise report one ago, but I agree that we have love one for another.
Yes.
Amen. That's one thing that I really appreciate. I know that I have confidence that we, as we love one another, that, you know, if I ever say anything to offend you, that you'll know that I didn't mean to, and vice versa. Right. Because I believe it's not in our hearts to do that.
Amen.
Amen. Because we want to be in unity, and so we certainly just thank the Lord for what He's doing in our midst. And if we can be closer to one another, then I pray the Lord do it, that He make us closer to one another, closer to Him. And I know we can, but when He gets us out of this flesh, it bites us so much. So we just are thankful for seeing the presence of the Lord among us. You know, Brother Tim mentioned there a little while ago about songs, specials, and I just want to encourage everyone to use your gift for the Lord. Can you imagine when everything unfolds, as Brother Brown talked about how Judgment Day, the great big screen will come across there, and you'll be able to see what was done and what was lived. The lives of the sinners will be able to see it right across the screen there and see what they did. And you imagine what somebody like Elvis Presley is going to feel like when the gift that he had, and he used it for the devil instead of for the Lord. What do you think he's going to feel like when that comes across the picture screen in front of him? You see what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that to heap condemnation. I'm just saying that use your gift for the Lord. Yeah. Don't let it sit idle.
Right.
Use it, do something for the Lord, because we have short times. The scripture, even in the days when the New Testament was written, said we just had a short time, you know. And so even if we went on and history went on for another 1,000 years, we have but a short time. Because we're just like a puff of smoke goes, and the wind blows it away, and we're gone.
Yeah.
We're done. So I want to be, you know, I was listening to testimony, Brother Bram saying he's laying on the bed, you know, and he's in his 50s, and he said, you know, if you're going to do something for the Lord, you better get it done.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of feel that way myself. You know, I want to do something for the Lord, and I want to be faithful. I want to run well, but I want to finish well.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd like to say that. Yeah. I want to finish well. And so may the Lord grant to us this morning something out of His Word that will help us run well, help us finish well. And so we'll go ahead and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I don't want to keep you standing for a long time here, but Matthew chapter 7. Of course, if you're reading this out of your Bible, you'll see that this is red letter. So it is the Lord speaking. And He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Didn't say maybe, He said it shall be opened. Let's just pray for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, Lord, we desire to be able to look into the words of eternal life this morning. And Lord, we confess that just as mortal men, we can open the physical pages of the Bible and physically speak with our voice the words that are written thereon. Lord, but we confess that it takes You, the great Holy Spirit, to come into our midst and open the Word to us, to let us see the layers of the truths that are laying there. Just in one scripture, Lord, there's so many layers that are there because Your Word is a living Word. We believe that this morning, Lord, and we're looking to You as the great shepherd, the author and finisher of our faith, to come this morning and speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, that we are Your workmanship. And so we just pray, God, that You'd come and that You would work on us this morning and make us what You want us to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, the word of God has got to be our absolute, what it says. You know, God sent us a message this day for a reason, and that was to establish to us what the Word is really saying.
Right.
And if the Word is not our absolute, we're going to be in big trouble.
Right.
I personally believe that, we've seen a lot of falling away, what we would call falling away from the message, but even in the message ranks, with all the great sermons that God has given to us and all the ministry that has just fed us so wonderfully through the years, but if a person's ultimate is not the Word of God, that won't even keep them, because that's not their ultimate. If they have something else they're seeking for, that they're chasing after, they're always going to chase after that which is in their heart. And so, as it turns out, it's designed in this way, in this day, so that that our desires have to be the Word, the ultimate of the Word. And, you know, you hear people say the message is their ultimate. I understand what they're trying to say, but the Word of God is our ultimate. And what the message has revealed to us out of the Word can be our ultimate.
Yeah.
We can't just say the message, because that doesn't sound right, but the revealing of the Word of God that this message has brought to us in this day, that has to be our ultimate. In other words, that's got to be what we're focused upon. That's got to be what our hungers and our thirst are for. Because if we have a hunger or thirst for something else, guess what we're going to do?
Right.
If we have a choice and a desire for something else, we're going to go for it.
That's right.
Like we were talking this morning, eating breakfast, and I said, you know, fallen man, if God is not intervening in your life, you'll go just as straight to the things the world has to offer just as fast as can be. If you see that happening in your life, it's the scripture says, as Brother Branham said so many times, he said, if you love the things of the world, right?
Right.
It's because you don't have the love of God in you. Because you can't have one or the other, both on in front center stage in your heart. And so, you know, when I look around and I see people missing this morning, and I know they're in a struggle. I know they're in a struggle just like we've been in a struggle, you know, because any time you want to set your face toward God to believe His Word and follow after that, then you've got an enemy to deal with. And so we certainly know that's what's going on. And so this morning I'm going to title this Christ Calling for His Mate. So we read in the scriptures that said that ask and it'll be given. And seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Because that everybody that does this is going to happen. And what I want to speak to you, we've heard these scriptures before, but I want to look at it from the standpoint this morning of the deep calling to the deep. And you remember what Brother Branham, how he laid that out, you know, that David said, "At deep calleth to the deep at the noise of thy water spouts." And Brother Branham laid it out like this, that in order for you to have a desire for something, that something has to exist or you could never have a desire for it, right? So he used the example, he said, before the fish could ever have a fin on its back, there had to be water for him to swim in, because that's what the fin would be used for.
Yeah.
And what I want to show you is this is working both directions this morning, that you can't have a call for something if it's not going to be there to respond, but also you can't have something to respond if there's not something calling for it. And it works from both directions. And the reason why I can say is that works from both directions is that God is the creator of such. And God doesn't just play around, He just doesn't create something that doesn't have a purpose. In other words, He's not going to give Brother Daniel a desire for healing in his body if there's no healing out there. Because then God would be creating something that's not, you know, that would be worthless to have.
Yeah.
So you see that when God creates something, when He creates a deep to call, He also creates a deep to respond to that call. And so he that asketh shall receive. Right? He that seeketh shall find.
Yeah.
He that knocketh, it shall be opened. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, I just want to look at it from that standpoint this morning, the deep calling to the deep. So there has to be something to respond, or there wouldn't be a call for it in the first place. And Brother Brown gave the example of a little boy that was eating rubber eating pencil erasers and ate the rubber off of a bicycle pedal. He said they did an examination on him, or said he found out that he needed sulfur because sulfur was in the rubber, and he had something. He said his body come from the earth. He had a desire in his body for sulfur, and so he was seeking out something, didn't even know what he was doing, you know. It's kind of like a mother when she's going to have a baby.
Yeah.
and she craves things, it's because something in her is crying out for it. There's a deep calling for it. There's a need.
Yeah.
There's a need. So when there's a deep call, there's a need there that needs to be met.
That's right.
And so the need will be met when that deep responds, right? Just like Brother Ram talked about being up in the mountains, and he'd hear an elk way over here on some mountain bugle, and he'd hear its mate down in the valley answer back. And he said, that's deep calling to the deep. Why? Because that bull need the mate, and they have a call that would go forth, and the mate would respond.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a deep calling to the deep. So when we have a hunger in our hearts, if we ask God for something, we shall receive it. Why? Because you can't even ask for it or have a desire for it if it doesn't exist.
Yeah, right.
So in order for you to have a desire to be saved, that's because you can be saved, because God has created something out there that is the deep to respond to the deep that calls from your heart. It's there, whether it's to be saved or to be healed. You want peace in your life. You have a desire. You long to have peace in your life. It's because it's there.
Yeah.
Or you couldn't even desire it.
Right.
And I think we need to really lay this down at the base of things to build upon, to realize that if you've got a desire for God in your heart, then you can have Him. Because Brother Branham said that if you had went so far that you had sinned away your dead grace, you wouldn't even have a desire for Him.
That's right.
Think about that. How many times the devil has lied to us to tell us that we went too far, or we did something and God's never going to forgive us, and yet we still find in our hearts a desire for God. So we got to lay to the base of everything we build upon that truth that if there's a deep calling, there's a deep to respond. And if we have a desire for God this morning, you can have Him.
Amen.
Regardless of what the devil says. Now, is the Word our ultimate?
Yeah.
Right? The Word says so. So we know we can have that this morning. And so let's talk about this. Remember, this is a love letter. The Bible is a love letter. Brother Ram talked about his wife. Him, he would travel, and maybe his wife would send him a letter, and he could read that letter. And he would be saying, you know, such and such about the kids and all. And he said, but I can read between the lines. I know exactly what she's saying because I know her. He said, you know, for instance, somebody else could be reading that letter, and they'd think, well, she's just talking about putting the kids to bed tonight and so on and so forth, you know. But because of his relationship with her, he could read between the lines and could receive subliminal, I guess if you want to call it, a message behind that other people wouldn't get. But it was only because of the relationship that he had with her that would work that way. So this Bible is a love letter. There are things that it says just that the naked eye could just read and touch on. But there are other things laying there deeper in the Word that's for us, that if we have a relationship with the author of this Bible, of this letter, then we have deeper understanding, we can have revelation to levels and things in the Scriptures that everybody else doesn't have. And that makes it a living Word that speaks to us. And so we love God's love letter as it speaks to our hearts, and we know that it speaks to us things that maybe somebody else doesn't hear or see. And so we love the Scriptures and what God speaks to us. And so a deep calling to the deep. We're talking about that this morning. Christ calling for His mate. You know, God had a deep call. We understand that through the message and that God had a desire for fellowship.
Yeah.
Right? And we find out that God had created, first thing He created was angels. Right? He created the universe, but He created angels. And angels worshiped Him because the word God means an object of worship. And if there's no one to worship you, then you're not God, even though you might have the attribute. So He had the attribute, and He brought that attribute into expression by creating angels, and they worshiped Him. But you find out that God was not satisfied with just the angels, the cherubims and the seraphims and all the different angels of heaven. That did not satisfy the call that He had in His heart. He had a deep call in His heart for something that He needed to satisfy that call. And so we find out that He did not find that in the angels.
Yeah.
So He proceeded further and He made man. He made the earth and all the planets and the stars and so forth. and he made man, and we find out that man, his creation, that he created man in such a way that he has fellowship with man. And so man can supply, I'm talking about the sons of God, the family of God, they can answer that deep call. He had a deep call, and now angels couldn't answer to that, but man can answer to that call for fellowship. Now you have to realize that when someone has a desire down inside them, if I have a desire for vanilla ice cream, you have to realize that that desire in itself, it has a characteristic that describes what it's looking for.
Yeah.
And there's only one thing out there that can actually satisfy what that craving and desire is. It is something that perfectly matches the pattern of that desire.
Right?
So God had a desire for fellowship. There was a certain something that he had in mind, and when he'd go to find that, he couldn't find it in angels.
Yeah.
He couldn't find it in seraphims or cherubims. He couldn't find it in that, so he began to seek and keep seeking, and of course we know he's God. He created the very thing that he was looking for. It reminds me of years ago, whenever they had a television commercial, and this guy had a TV. His TV failed, and he wanted to go get a TV, and so he fixed the like that, and he went to the store, and he was walking around. Maybe you remember this, and he'd try to find the TV he wanted that would fit right in the spot he had at home. My Aunt Mary remembers it. And he had to go and go, and it was a television advertisement, and he finally found the one that was just right. And that's the one he bought because he knew it fit what he needed.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. As God had a desire he couldn't find in the angels, so he proceeded on with his creation until finally he found something that absolutely fit the craving he had in his heart.
Right.
Birds of a feather flock together, right? They have fellowship together. You don't hang out with people that you don't like.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We can talk about people being cliquish and all that. That, you know, I understand that can be a bad thing, but generally people just like to fellowship and hang out with those who like the same things or that they can fellowship with. They don't have to be perfectly the same, but they, you know, they have fellowship together. And so that's how this works. But God didn't find it with angels. He found it in man. And so God created man, and he created Adam. And the scriptures said that Adam was the son of God. Now, the scriptures didn't have to say that unless there was a reason. Because he could have said, well, you know, God made man, and Adam was a creation of God. But the scripture said that Adam was the son of God,
yeah.
Right? So it's naming the genealogy, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So the scriptures made a point to show us that Adam was the son of God. So I believe that what the scriptures is telling us here is that it wanted us to take notice to the fact that not only was Adam a creation of God, but there was an attribute duplication of God's attributes in his son. Because that's how you know a son. A son actually is a son to his father because he bears the attribute of gene, the gene connection between him and his dad. And so when the scripture said Adam was the son of God, then that he wants us to recognize there that not only was he got Adam created, but Adam also had some characteristics in him that made him the son of God. So there would be things that God had about him that would be found in his son.
Yeah.
Right? And so by that we know that when we can analyze Adam's life, there are things about Adam's life that we can see that are there, that we can attribute those same things to God, even though the scriptures may not say it clearly. We can see it because of the pattern of what God has set up. So we can find out when you say, well, where does it say in the Bible that God wanted fellowship or God was lonely? It doesn't have to say it like that. But through this pattern, when you can see how this works, Adam was the son of God, so there are things about Adam's life that is going to depict his father.
Right.
He's going to have cravings and desires and lookalikes and things like that that's just like his daddy. So we can analyze Adam and learn about father.
Yeah.
Right? So the scripture said, it's not good for Adam to dwell alone. There you have it. It's good enough for me. I just read between the lines. You see how Revelation works? I just read between the lines that God was lonely and needed fellowship, and because I seen it in the life of Adam. So Adam needed fellowship. It wasn't. The scripture said it's not good for him to dwell alone. It's not good. Listen, when you get depressed or something like that and something tells you just to pull off to the side away from everybody else, that's the devil.
Yeah.
Because it's not good for you to dwell alone. It's meant for you to have fellowship and to have good godly fellowship. So you have to watch that and be careful how you fellowship, who you fellowship with, but the fact that you do have fellowship. And first and foremost, you need fellowship with your Creator. First. So Adam was the son of God, and therefore there was attributes that were being duplicated in him to show that he was the son of God. He had attributes in him like his father. So, you know, the first, we find out even scripturally, going back into the beginning and before the beginning, that God had thoughts in his mind, and words as thoughts expressed, and when that word was spoken, that thought was transferred into the word, and that word that went out was called the Logos, and it's referred to as the Son of God, because it came out from the Father, right, from God. And it's referred to as the Son, and the purpose of that Logos, that Son, when it went out, was to reveal that invisible God. So the purpose of every son is to reveal their Father. So when Adam was created and he stepped forth on the earth as God created him, his purpose here was to reveal what was on God's mind.
Amen.
Just like you, your purpose here on earth is to reveal what's on God's mind. He wants to express through you because you're his offspring. You carry his gene, right? So you're going to show who he is and you're going to show what he's all about. That's why we can't sit and go for some of this Tommy rock that these people want to press for out here in the world, because that's not an attribute of our Father. I can't express something that's not part of my Father. Right? I can't express adultery and all those things that the world wants to stand for and still call themselves Christians.
Right.
I can't stand for that. You can't stand for that. Why? Because it's not in your genetic makeup to stand for that. Because it's not in your father's gene to stand for that. And so every son responsibility, and when I say sons, you realize, sisters, I'm talking to you too. You're offspring of God. I could say sons of God or daughters of God. I'm talking about you too. Your purpose is to express your father. If I look like my dad, which, you know, a lot of children do look just like their dad. They say, boy, he's a spitting image of his dad. You can see that child and you can learn a whole lot about his daddy. All right? You can. So, Adam was the son of God and reflecting the Father. So Adam was lonely, and the scripture said it was not good. In other words, it wasn't good for God to not have that fellowship met.
Right.
It was not good for God to be in eternity and be all powerful and all the things that he is and yet be lonely. Mm-hmm. Wasn't good. So there had to be something to go out and be. Keep in mind that as he is the creator, if he desires something, he can create what he needs.
Yeah.
Right? We get to that in a little bit more detail here, just a little bit. But the Creator can create the desire of what he has a desire for. And so God had a desire inside him for fellowship, so he goes out and he creates it, and he creates Adam. And now Adam is a mimic of the Father, and so Adam is standing here, and he is in, he's God on the earth, and so he's given the responsibility for all the animals to come by, and he names all the animals. And after they've all come by, while they're coming by, while the giraffe comes by, while the elephant comes by, while the dogs come by, while the birds or whatever, every one of them comes by, and while he's giving them names, he's looking because he's lonely. And he's hoping for something that he can connect with. And he's not finding it. He didn't find it in the horse. He didn't find it in the cow. He didn't find it in any other animal. Right? So when he had named all the animals, the scripture said there was not a helpmeet found for him. He did not find this one that would satisfy the cry of his heart. God didn't find it in the animals. God didn't find it in the angels. Adam didn't find it in the animals. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God in his realm didn't find it in all those beings there, so he had to go find it. It had to be created.
Yeah.
And here's Adam sitting here, and it's nowhere to be found. But yet, there's a call in there. Right? There's a deep call in there. Now, if that deep is calling, we already learned, it has to be something to respond, right?
Yeah.
And the Creator, it's his program. The Creator's going to see to it that there's something to respond to the call. Right? So he had a desire. He had a desire for fellowship. Adam did, just like God. And so he was looking and seeking. And the scriptures referred to it as a helpmeet. But it was that desire of someone to fellowship with. So God put him to sleep and took from him a rib and made the woman. And the woman now satisfied that desire that Adam had for fellowship. Now this is in type talking about God desiring fellowship, Jesus Christ desiring fellowship. This is what it's talking about. So he made the woman, and she became that fellowship, the needs, meet the needs of that fellowship. So what I wanted you to point out, I want to point out to you, so I know you know this, but let's look at it a little bit closer and focus on this. The answer to the deep that was calling, when that deep called out, the answer had to come from within the one calling.
Yeah.
Right? Adam had to be a son of God in order for God to find it.
Right.
Eve had to come from Adam in order for him to find it. Right? Everybody catch that? So he had to actually come from the one who had the deep call in the first place. So the deep that responds is a product of that call coming from the one who's calling it.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's creator, he can do that. And so the only answer that could answer that would actually come out from him. Now think about this. Jesus had a call, a deep calling in his heart for a bride. Now, he had a desire in his heart, and that desire had certain characteristics, had a certain thing about it. She would be such and such, and thus, and knowing him to be the God that he is, a holy, righteous God, she'd have to stand for holiness. She'd have to be all the things. So he had this desire. Jesus had this desire as God in flesh, even. He had a desire to have this wife, to have the bride of Christ. And all those characteristics was in that desire. So that's a deep calling he had. And so there has to be one to respond. And of course, he created that one to respond. But when that call goes out and it searches, when it finds the one that satisfies that craving and that desire, it's because she fits that perfectly. There's nothing out of kilter, nothing out of place. He finds her, and that is her choice, his choice, right? That is his choice because he's found the one that meets that call in his heart.
Yeah.
So that's the way it worked. And so Jesus had a desire for the bride of Christ, and he searched all through history and all through time, and when he stopped in front of you. Why? Because he found in you that which matched the desire that he had in his heart. That deep calling, and he found the deep to respond. Now, when he stopped in front of you and said, "This is the one," and by the way, this happened long ago, but when he did that and said, "This is the one," he wasn't looking at your successes in this life. Was he looking at your failures? Did he look at all your hang-ups? What was he looking at when he hovered over you and said, "This is the one that I choose"? What did he find? It wasn't our temper that we had when we were growing up, or our chasing after worldly things or whatever, because we were born in a fallen nature of our flesh. That's not what he was looking for, because he's a holy God. But what was he looking for? You were a sinner. He hovered over you, and you were probably smoking a cigarette or drinking a beer or something like that. You just forgive me, but I had to do something. Right. But you were probably doing those things, and yet he hovered over you. Was it what you were doing that made him want you?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. But what it was a predestinated gift that laid inside you.
Right.
That's what he hovered over the top of. And so you find out that the only thing that could satisfy the Lord Jesus Christ is the thing that went out from him. That answer had to come from him to begin with.
Right.
We know this from other sermons that we've talked about. So his desire when he found you, was he wasn't looking at your sin or your failures or something like that. It was looking at something that was much deeper than that. Something went much further than that. And so the only thing that would work came out from him. His desire went out looking and found you. And he did this before the world was. We have a scripture, 2 Thessalonians, if we pull that up. Well, I know we're familiar with this. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. From the beginning has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So when we talk about him going out and finding you, and I want you to think that he came in this day and looked upon you. But what he did was, even in the mind of God, we understand this, way back then, before the world was, he chose you.
Right.
And he chose you because he saw something in you that matched the desire that he had. And it wasn't your sin, and it wasn't your failures, right? But what he found in you was something that was just like him. Because, and actually that came out from him, because that's the pattern. We just showed that the only way that that deep could respond has to be something to come out from the one who's calling it, right? So you had to come, and we know we came out from Christ in a birth. So he found that, and that happened before the world was. There's all kinds of scriptures tell us it happened before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
And so he was looking for you, and what he found was an attribute of himself.
Amen.
And that's why he liked you. That's why he wanted you. Because he found something in you that did stand for holiness. He found something in you that doesn't try to make excuses for the standard that God wants. He found something in you that said amen to the word, said amen to the doctrine of serpent seed, said amen to the fact that there's one God, not three, right? Said amen to the fact that hell is not eternal, right? And we can go on and on and on and on. Something that said amen to the fact that you need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the mystery truths that have come in our day, he saw that there was something in there that would say amen to those saints, and he knew that if he joined up and in union with that, it would be a happy marriage.
Yeah.
Because if you choose somebody contrary to that, there's always a fuss going on, as Brother Ram said. There'll always be a fuss and continual fight about something. I seen a guy at work the other day, and he used to work in the building that I'm in, and he had moved to a different place. And several years ago, he had gotten married, and he was all excited about it. And I just, you know, everything's ordered of the Lord, of the righteous for sure, right? So I just happened to come along and happened to see him. And so I walked up to him and I shook his hand. And I just felt compelled to ask him. I said, how's married life? And he got this funny look on his face. He said, ending. And I was thinking to myself a little bit later, you don't have the enthusiasm about your wife now that you had back when you first married her. What happened? What happened? Most marriages, more than 50%, I don't know what the percentages are now, but it's more, it's like 2 out of 3, wind up in divorces. And as I tell young people, I've told them many times that they come and ask me about it, I say, look, you know what? 2/3 of them fail. But all of them, when they first are, they're standing there ready to be married and they want to be married, all of them think everything's going to be fine and work out great, but yet 2/3 of them fail. What are they missing?
Yeah.
Something's being missed here. We know what it is as believers, that they don't have God included in that. But that's what I was thinking. You're not enthusiastic, and that's probably why you're getting divorced now, is because you're not showing the enthusiasm. Something's happened, and you're probably not treating her like you did when you first met her, and she's probably not treating you now like she did when you first met her. And so now there's this divorce happening. Now, here's what I want to get at here when I'm saying this. As I already said, you can't pick someone that's going to be a continual fight.
Yeah.
And we know that in modern medicine, whenever they have a person who has to get a kidney transplant or something like that. Some of them need a brain transplant, but they get a kidney transplant and the body rejects it.
Yeah.
They have medicine they give people to try and make sure to help that body not reject that organ. Why? Because the body knows what belongs there. And if you start bringing something in there that doesn't belong, it knows it don't belong. And it might take a little while, but eventually it's going to reject.
Right.
So when a man doesn't put God first and let God tell him who to marry, he joins up and brings into his body something that, he's going to be joined with, and finds out after a little while that it don't belong there. Because he married up under something instead of God's leadership. So now there's a rejection. You know, God's not going to make that mistake. When he would seek the bride of Christ and go find one to be the bride for Christ, he's not going to make a mistake and choose something that's going to turn around and disagree with him. Right? He's going to choose something he knows by predestination. Down inside her heart, she has something in there that will say amen to these truths that come forth in her hour. And especially in this hour. He knows that, because if she rejected that truth, how could she be there with him? How could she be part of it? She would not be one with him. So he has to choose something that is a deep response to the deep call. A perfect match to what was in there from desire. And so that's the way it works. So he found in you that thing that responded to his deep call and was a perfect match there. Now, we know Brother Adam tells us in the invisible union of the bride of Christ, he talks about this, and he says, he's talking about the books of life, and you've probably heard me mention this before, but he's talking about the book of life and the Lamb's book of life, and he said, this Lamb's book of life, he said, you know, there might be a little bit of confusion there, but it'll be straightened out when the church age book comes out. He said, it'll be clear there. He said, it's like it's two books, but it's not two books. And like it's one book with a section in it called the section of the Lamb's book of life. But he breaks it on down and he says, here's the thing in it. He said, there is a book of life that when you're born, all your deeds under that natural birth is recorded in that book of life. Everything you do is recorded there. Good, bad, whatever. And that's what's recorded there. But he talks about now, but when you're born again, truly born again, okay? And remember, a birth is not just some sensation. It's a birth to the word of your hour, right? It's the personal revelation of Jesus Christ to you in your hour. That is the new birth. Yeah. So those who have a new birth, he takes their name and transfers it off of that book of life and puts it on the Lamb's book of life, right? And Brother Ram said, that Lamb's book of life is your marriage certificate, right? So that when Jesus, when God would go to find the wife for Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit would go out, he would seek and find those whose names were on that Lamb's book of life, those who weren't just back here and all the deeds of life and trying to serve whatever in whatever way. It wouldn't be those, but it would be those who actually had their names transferred and actually realized, but the names were put there from the foundation of the world. Because of his foreknowledge, he knew how to put it there. So she is the record of the redeemed, those that are in Christ Jesus. And so he said, that Lamb's book of life is the marriage certificate. That's the proof that she's married to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Brother Ram is describing this, and he said it's a perfect type of this, is when Abraham sent Eliezer to find a wife for Isaac. It's a perfect type there, because Abraham, remember, Abraham's a son of God, right? He's son of God, so he's got attributes just like all sons have in it. So the things that Abraham's doing under that sonship is going to reflect father. Yeah. And so Abraham is like, you're not going to take a wife for my son from this place here. I want you to go all the way back to our kinfolk, right back where we come from, and you get a wife for my son back there.
Yeah.
Right? And Brother Ram said that was a perfect type of the Lamb's Book of Life. That God would go right back to the Word, right back to the beginning, and find the bride in Christ as being part of the Word, just like he's part of the Word. Why? Because if she's not part of the Word, there would be a rejection. So she has to be part of the Word just like he is. And so God went all the way back there to the predestinated record in the Lamb's Book of Life and chose that to be the thing that satisfied the call of his heart. And so he's coming forth and he's got this deep call, and now there's going to be a deep response, and it's going to be the bride of Christ. And so showing that she has to be the Word just like he is the Word. But what I want to show you here now, this is kind of turning a corner here just for a moment, and then we'll be done here just shortly. Whenever that call goes forth, and now he's created the response there, and that creation is you. And it's not your failures, not your flesh, but it's something that was predestinated and given to you that's a gene of him. And that's the thing that is the deep to respond to his call. Okay? The deep to respond to his call is that predestinated you that's in you. Okay? But what I want to show you is that predestinated response in you that's responding to his call, that in itself is a deep calling. It's something in you that's calling out for a Savior, for a healer. Something in you in this hour that's calling out for truth, that wants to know truth, that wants to walk in the paths of righteousness, right? So the very thing that's answering his call is also in you calling out back to him, right? Because that mate would call from the mountaintop and the one in the valley would answer back. They both was calling back and forth to each other. So Christ calling for you and you answer, and the way you answer is when you call back to him with a call and he answers. Right? That's the way it works. So there is a deep calling. So remember, if you knock, you're going to get it. It's going to be opened, right? If you seek, you're going to find. If you ask, it shall be given, because you have a desire for that in the first place. Don't pervert it and say, well, I'm on $1 million. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the attributes of God here. Yeah. Getting right down to where all this other stuff is pushed out of the way, and we boil it right down to who we really are and what really matters in life. And this is the thing we need to focus on and push these other things out of the way so that we can stay focused on the truths of what's really going on and who we are and what we're here for. That's what we need to be focused on. And so it's a deep, that in you is a deep calling also. Calling out to be saved. Calling out to be healed. Calling out for something beyond all this physical stuff. Something that calls out beyond what all the church world has to offer. Something that's calling out, calling to, and now keep in mind, now this that's in us that is answering his call is calling out, and it has a desire. It has a characteristic about what is going to satisfy it. It has a certain thing that it's looking for, and it can only be found in Christ Jesus. He's the only one that can give you that peace. He's the only one that can heal you, that can save you, that can fix your families, can set everything in order. He's the only one, and that's why you have a desire for those things, because there's a deep in you calling, and he's the answer to that deep call. Right. So you see, it's a reciprocation. Because the man really needs to love her and she needs to love him. He needs to want her, she needs to want him. That's the way it works, you see. And when it works like that, being a match made in heaven, then Satan can't do nothing with it. He can strike at it, but he really can't do nothing with it because it's established in heaven. And so, he is the deep to respond to your call. Amen? So the life that's in you is the same life that's in him.
Right.
No different. It's not a different life. It's the same family of God, same life, same gene, eternal life. Eternal life calling for its mate, what I wrote down here, but I've changed it to be Christ calling for his mate for a title. But that's what it is. It's eternal life. Eternal life in him. Calling out for that mate of fellowship. And he produces that one who has eternal life in her. And she calls out for what he can supply her. Right? And it's the same eternal life in her that's causing that to happen. And it's eternal life calling to one another, bringing to one another. Listen, if a turtle walking through the woods with cliffs and gorges and stuff, if he can find a mate, think about it. Or a little snail. Right? How are they ever going to find one? You know what? Because God has something in place there. God's provided a way. He knows how to find a mate, and she knows how to find a mate. Right? No matter what it is. Because God put it there. So you see, God knows how to find that which belongs to him. And that which belongs to him knows how to find him. And you're not going to find him in the world.
Right.
You're only going to find him. It's strange to me. It is so strange to me how hard it is to have that precious time with him. And we know full well that's where it's at. That's where everything works, and that's where we're in tune, and that's where everything is. You just feel so good, and you know you've got purpose.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to get there, and yet it's so easy to go about and be involved in things that keep you from having time to find out who you really are.
Right.
They ought to show you, you know, is that if you come along and you see a field with 500 scarecrows, you know there's something there that they don't want you to get. And Satan just fights. But just those precious moments you get along with the Lord early in the morning or whenever it is for you, and it's like, oh Lord, why did I wait so long to get here? Why did I spend so much time out there just struggling with the cares of life and all these things? Why? This is where I really want to be. This is what I want all the time. Right? Does anybody know what I'm talking about besides me?
Amen.
You just get in his presence and you just melt.
Yes.
Oh, what have I been running for? What have I been struggling for? Just let it all go and just lay right here and say, you know what? He's going to take care of me.
Amen.
This is where I belong, in the secret of his presence. Because
yep.
You know what? And nobody else is in that presence with you. It's just you and him.
That's right.
Right? That's the secret place. Saints, we've got to find ourselves in there more often.
Amen.
And so, it's the same life that's in you. It's the same life that's in him. Let's go to John chapter 14. We'll read a few verses here. I'm going to show you. St. John chapter 14, verse 15 through 20. Did I forget to write that one on there? I'm sorry. See? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you. How long?
Forever.
Okay, a comforter is going to come. And he says, even the Spirit of truth. So the comforter and Spirit of truth, same thing. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. So the world seeth him not. They don't know him. They don't see him. They don't know what this is all about, right? But he says, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to give you another comforter, the Spirit of truth. And the world's not going to see it. They don't know him, but you know him, right? So that because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Who is with them talking to them? Jesus, right? For so he says, this comforter is dwelling with you and shall be in you. Where's your three gods now? Right, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Truth, and he says, "I'm going to have another Comforter. I'm going to get it sent back to you." And by the way, it's with you right now,
yeah.
And it's going to be in you, right? Shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Well, he just sat there and told us that the Comforter, which is the Spirit of Truth, who was dwelling with them, was going to be in them. And now he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. So he's the Comforter. Jesus Christ is your Comforter. I'll not leave you comfortless. So I'll come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me. Because I live, ye shall live. Now think about the resurrection. Because I resurrect and go into heaven, and I come back in the form of the Holy Spirit living in you, guiding you. I'm with you now, but I'll be in you, and while I'll be the Comforter in you. I'll be the Spirit of truth in you. I'll lead you and guide you in the truth. I'll show you things to come. I'll bring to remembrance up the things that I've told you. I'll do all that, right? The world don't see it, but you're going to. And because I resurrect and go up and come back in you, and because I live, you'll live,
yeah.
Right? Because I am going to the grave, dying for you, but I'm going to live again. And because I live, you'll live, because I'm going to come back in you and live in you,
right?
Okay, let's go to the next one. So after he's come back and live in his people, he says, and in that day, you'll know that I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you. So what life is it we have in us? Is it a different life than he had? Or is it the same life? See, this is the problem I have with people who won't sit and look at the scriptures. Because this Bible will bear out the truths that we believe. From one end to the other, it will declare clearly that there is not three gods. It'll make it clear what's going on. You see right there, it'll show you what's that he has to change forms. Right? That he has to change forms. That he has to come down in flesh. Had to go back, come back in the form of the Holy Spirit. That he has to do that. And people will want to argue this, and oh, I don't believe this, and I have a problem with this, I have a problem with that, I don't like this, I don't like that. But if they ever come and sit down, seriously. But there's your problem. They're not serious enough to sit down for very long and look at the scriptures. They don't really want to look at it. Ain't got time for it. Well, that shows them just how important salvation is to them and how important eternal life is to them. But they won't even sit down and look at the scriptures. And by the way, Jesus said, Father, I thank you because you've hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. So there's the concept there that even if you did want to come and spend the time to read and study it, if you're wise in your own conceits, right? If you're wise and prudent and you're trusting in your own wisdom, trusting in your own ability, if you have a standpoint to say this, I was raised in church, I know what they taught me, and what you're saying, I have never heard that before. I'm not listening to that anymore. Well, if you're doing that, it's because you're trusting in the wisdom. You're not walking in humility and saying, let's come and reason together. You're trying to hang on to your already experience. You believe in yourself. You have self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
You think, you know what? I've got it. I don't need no help. But you know what? I always need his help.
Amen.
I need correction. Right. I need him to show me truth so I can follow after that truth. And when I'm wrong, I need him to show me because I can't show myself. Right? So why is it we spend so much time doing things and going about in an attitude, in a mode where we're not letting him talk to us? Because we've got to have him talking to us.
Yeah.
He's got to hold our hand. We can't even walk, as Brother Daniel said earlier. We can't even walk without him holding our hands.
Yeah.
Right? We can't. That we really need to say, you know what? I don't care what's going on. I'll do my job. I'll try to provide for my family. I'll do all these things. But none of those things am I going to trust in. I'm trusting in him.
Amen.
I'm trusting in him to give me the ability to work tomorrow to make an income so I can buy the things my family needs and to support the church. I'm trusting in him to give me something to minister to you the next time I minister. Brother Daniel does the same things. We trust in him for everything.
Yeah.
And if we don't trust in him for everything, we've got the wrong attitude.
That's right.
Right? So, it's the same life. You know, when a seed, whether it's a tree or a person or whatever, they have a genetics in them that scribes. What color eyes you got, Brother Daniel? Brother Sisty, what color? Brother Piggy, brown? Okay. I knew she would know. So, brown eyes. So, Brother Daniel's got genetics down inside him. You know, they say that I think the genetic code is the most complicated, it's got the most information in this language. And they've broken into it, but so he's got genetic code down inside him that says he'll have brown eyes. So when he comes forth, there's something in him that's crying out to express. I've got to express something. I've got to, you know, that gene of that eyes in there is crying out. I got to show forth. And when it, bam, there it is, brown eyes. It doesn't bring forth green eyes. You see what I'm saying? So the genetic code inside of tells whether we have black hair or red hair, and it struggles. If you want to look at it from that way, it just pushes forth and manifests itself. And when it does, it manifests the physical reality of what it is in that genetic coding.
Yeah.
What about sons and daughters of God?
Yeah.
You got code within you that says what holiness and righteousness and those things are, and you can't do anything but manifest those. And it's not just, well, I guess if I ever get an opportunity, I'll manifest brown eyes. No, it's struggling, pushing you. You've got to manifest it. I tell you, You take hold of a dog's tail. When you walk up and you go to petting that dog, they go wagging their tail.
Yeah.
You try to hold that tail and it, you know, because they're a dog, there's a gene in there that says wag your tail when you're happy.
That's right.
They're pointer, point when you're looking at something or whatever. Or tuck your tail when you're being scolded.
Yeah.
Right? The genes dictate what your manifestation is. So God has given us a life, and that life is crying out for righteousness, is crying out for our Redeemer, crying out for that which is the only thing that is true. So don't try and hold it under and say, no, I'm not going to let my eyes manifest what they're supposed to. Let it manifest. Cry out to God. Tell Him what you want. Seek Him. Right? Look for Him. Seek after Him. Don't try to hide it. Let it be known. I'd like to get some shirts made up. I was thinking that this morning. Maybe we could get the sizes and get some shirts for whoever would want one. You know, I'd like to have a shirt that says, I am totally dependent upon Jesus Christ for my everything.
Yeah.
I'd like to have a shirt like that.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
So I could wear it out on the weekends because they wouldn't let me wear it at work. You know, not just because of that, but because we have to wear collared shirts. Unless it's Fridays, then you don't have to on Fridays, but you know, they make all these crazy rules. You know, like customers don't come in on Friday to see you. They do come in on Fridays, you know. So, but that's, somebody had an idea. So, well, you got to wear nice stuff, but we'll let you off the hook on Fridays. So anyway, you got to manifest what you are. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid, and you don't light a candle and hide it under a bushel.
Right.
People need to see what we are. And God wants us to cry out. Brother Brown tells the same thing. Cry out. You want something? Cry out to God. Tell Him what you want. Don't be like that. And now, Junior, when you get to where you want something, you ring this little bell right here. They said it won't work
right. Because
God's getting in the way, and that is to cry out for it. And so, that life that's in us, the gene, it must manifest itself. It can't manifest anything other than that. And being that is the body of Christ, being that we are part of Him, amen, we are the body of Christ,
yeah.
He will take care of us. So let's go to Ephesians 5:29 and then we'll close. Why will He take care of us? He has to take care of us. Because look at this. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh. Now we're His body. No man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Right? I don't walk around trying to hurt my body.
Right?
And when a man has a revelation that his wife is part of him, he's not going to be walking around trying to hurt him.
Right?
Christ is not going about trying to make harm to you. His whole purpose is to keep you day to day. So if you ask, I think He'll give it. If you seek Him, you will find Him. Right? If you'll knock, He will open to you. And so He will supply your needs according to His riches and glory. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and let the musicians come. Aren't you glad that there's a deep calling to the deep and you know what that is? You know how that works? Because the message came to give you an understanding that's far beyond anything that gray matter in your brain can understand. It has to go into the realms of revelation. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this service this morning, Lord, we thank You for allowing us to sit in heavenly places this morning to think upon the truths that You've given us in this hour, to be able to soar in the heavens, Lord. I pray, God, that we not count it as a light thing, Lord, but to cherish it, knowing, Lord, that it's these very truths that we believe and that we feed upon that will change us. Lord, just bring the past that predestinated position that You've given us from before the world. We thank You, Lord. We pray, God, that You not allow us to be slothful in any way, Lord, that our responsibilities here as the bride of Christ, our responsibilities at work or at home or in the church, Lord, that you'll give us a fresh anointing and we'll go forth, Lord, with strength to stand in our post of duty and to be, Lord, that light that can't be hid, so that others will find you, Lord. Great God, that you allow us each one to rededicate ourselves this morning, Lord, to be that child of God in the workplace or at home, Lord, that knowing that there's always someone who's watching, always someone who's in need, I ask God that you'd help us in this. Lord, we love you. We love this message. We love each other. And God, we don't ever want to be doing anything that make it look like we don't trust you. Lord, we do trust you. We do want total dependency upon you, because that's the only place where we truly have peace in our hearts, is to trust you. We ask God that you'd help us each one. Bless your children now as they go this day. Keep them safe, Lord. Keep them in your word. Keep the enemy away from them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Well, I know we was going to have Brother Ben Beard here today, but he really fighting with the devil. So I said, we'll get you lined out whenever you get well. Had some real problems that he was dealing with there with a busted eardrum and things. And so the precious brother to us, he's always told me, he said, Brother Tony, he said, I always feel at home among y'all down there. And I appreciate that. And so just let's be in prayer for him and for Brother Ben Beard and his family. And I know what it's like to have vertigo. And so we just pray that the Lord will help him, get him well, and then we'll have him come minister here as soon as possible. So I know he really wanted to be here. We were praying about it all week, but just like he said, God knows what he's doing. Amen. So, don't understand it. I've said this before, but I remember one time when Brother Branham showed up, and, you know, Brother Neville, when he was going to preach, and Brother Branham would show up, well, Brother Neville just stepped to the side and let Brother Branham preach a lot. There was one time Lee Vail was going to be preaching, and Brother Branham had him go ahead and have Lee Vail preach. Now, I don't know the man, never met him. I'm not trying to endorse him. I'm just telling you what happened. And when Brother Branham got up after Lee Vail preached, Brother Branham said, we have to believe. We believe that this is the way God wanted it. So we believe that this is the way God wanted it. For some reason, that Brother Ben would not be here this weekend, that everything would be the way it is, because you're not going to circumvent God. He knows what he's doing. So we trust in that, right? Even when we don't understand it, we'll trust in that. But I believe something may have been said today, perhaps, that you needed. So we trust the Lord in those things. Let's just sing a song as we get ready to dismiss.
He is my everything. He is my all.
Thank you,
Lord.
her and touch her body. Praise you. Lord, as she goes, she will have and rejoice in the thankfulness of the Lord.
Yes.
Lord, through her hand, through love and tenderness that you have toward her and her family. Yes, thanks to you.
Yeah.